freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, here we go with another Brock and Salk podcast. Good morning, friend. How are you?
Oh, energized.
Yeah,
the
you
sunshine
are.
Just energizes you. Just love it. Was in Chelan all weekend.
Oh.
Got some tan lines from my sandals. I'm looking at my feet right now as I'm talking to you. Just energized.
Wait,
brother.
You don't have socks on?
No,
it's
don't
like,
have socks.
It's like 45 degrees out, man. If you're back in Seattle, put some socks on, dude.
Oh, but just remember, Mike,
here.
Mike, summer starts July 5th. Oh, you've been here a decade. Uh-huh. You should know that by
last
now.
Last year, just for the record, last year it did not. Last year I went by that age-old premise, and sure enough,
it was a La Nina summer
all of a sudden,
year.
It was October, and summer had never really gotten going, and now here we are on recording July 7th. No sign of change again.
54 with a marine layer in Redmond. But, man, was it beautiful in Chelan. And
right.
Your picks where you were just gorgeous.
Yeah,
so
Bend
you're energized.
I did get to Bend. First time. You guys kind of kept that from me, I'd like to say. I mean, I've been here now over a decade. Don't understand why none of you so-called friends of mine haven't, like, urged me to maybe take a little bit longer drive and go to Bend. It's perfect for the Salks. So I'm a little offended, actually, that you guys haven't pressed a little harder for me to go there.
Well, remember, there were a number of years. I don't know how appealing
weather.
A six-hour car ride would be with Cecily.
That's true.
I mean, there was a stretch of years there where it was off the table,
true.
I think.
That's fair. that's fair. Kids are great on these car rides now, though. My kids are aces. 6 hours, both directions, no screens, no problem.
No
wow.
screens for six
we don't,
hours.
We don't do screens in the car.
Okay.
How about that?
How about
wow.
that?
How about that? So every one of you parents out there right now, because we're going to get competitive later. We're going to talk freezing cold takes because of the freezing cold weather. Yeah. 6 hours both way, no screens. What's up?
Wow.
That's big time, bro.
That's
yeah.
great.
That's you know what that's called? That's called parenting. Look into it.
That's called Heather, when you're good, gives you and reads you another story.
No,
that's what
no,
that
no,
is.
No. Don't be cracking jokes here. This is my moment to shine, pal. That's what it's called, parenting. Parenting. We also drug them. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of ways to, get around a long car ride like that. All right. Can we jump into things here, Brock? We got a lot to discuss. We got some potpourri. As I said, we've got freezing cold takes a little later in this episode. But let's start with Russ, because all roads eventually lead back to him here in Seattle. He's the most important figure in town, sports-wise, along with Pete Carroll. I don't really believe that anybody comes close to those two. And you know, as you see Patrick Mahomes get his record deal now, $450 million for 10 years, that's a hefty sum.
Yes.
It kind of points back to the deal Russ signed a few years ago, and you say, oh, yeah, all right. That's how this was going to go. The best are going to continue to get that kind of cash. And by the way, Russ is now viewed legitimately in that category as the best.
Yes. I don't think there's any debate. It's him. It's Mahomes. Obviously, Lamar Jackson was the league MVP a year ago and just ran wild and you know looked different from just a playing standpoint. It's a speed standpoint. It was only Michael Vick that maybe has ever played the position at the NFL level where you're just the best athlete on the field and faster than everybody
else.
I'm
really looking forward to seeing year two of that.
Yes.
I'm curious to see what happens when the league has a year to see if they can stop and figure out how to stop that offense, where he's got to throw a little bit more potentially and be a little bit, you know, more accurate, which he was last year. He was more accurate, certainly, than he had been the year before. I'm very curious to see if he can build on that and maybe get yep. better, or if there's an adjustment to the league and he's forced to adjust and see what happens, because he is a fun player to watch, man.
And, I would agree with you.
And the future is a little open-ended for him.
Yeah. I also think, what are we, 8 years into Russell? I think coming into this season, year number 9 for him, where he stands kind of in that hierarchy, where he stands contractually, it's only now Patrick Mahomes, who eventually is going to make some more money with obviously this mega deal that really starts rolling in a couple years for him as far as some of the big, big guaranteed money goes. But I also think that maybe this, because of this offseason, because of the nature of where things are right now, of things being totally shut down, and just little snippets that we have seen and heard over the last 2 to 3 months, I think going into year nine, I think this is going to be the most different that we have ever seen Russell Wilson. I think many of those years were just, you know, exactly what you're going to get. He's going to come in. He's going to say this, going to act this. He's going to, and I'm not saying he's changing his nature by any means, but I think that there's going to be a more vocal Russell. I think there's more maturation to him. I think it started way back at the Pro Bowl when he talked about some of the stars that he wanted, including Clowney, and wanted stars in free agency. Ultimately didn't get that one.
No, not so much. Oh, you wanted stars? Don't worry, it's fine. Remember the guy you played with like 6-7 years ago? He was a backup then, Benson Mayoa. We got him. We don't have stars, but don't worry, you're going to know at least the guys.
Free agency is very, very key to get superstars on your team.
Yeah.
Yep, didn't go that route.
Again, no, there may be not superstars, but it's okay. Ron, I don't want you to freak out. I know what you wanted. We heard you loud and clear. So what we figured is if we couldn't quite deliver on what you want, we get friends. And Benson's a friend. You know Benson. You know Bruce. Bruce was here, right? And he had a couple good years. In fact, he was part of your draft class. I saw the tweet you had with Bobby Wagner about what all the great things your draft class has done. Obviously, you include Bruce, who was picked ahead of both of you guys in that draft class. So don't worry, we've got, not stars so much as Bruce Irvin and Benson Mayoa. They're here, and they're ready to catapult us forward.
We heard you wanted to add stars. We did half of that. We added. So we are so excited because we followed what you said, and we added.
Well, and is it even adding when you're bringing people back?
Is there any greater risk aversion than bringing things back that you just like, oh, I've seen this guy before, right. So it's probably good.
You know this name.
B.J. Finney. Cedric Aboyu.
Right. No, I mean,
Aboyu.
And I don't want to kill those guys because I have no issues with any of those signings. This is not an.
But they're not stars.
They're not stars.
No.
They're barely even starters.
Are they going to be top 30 players at their positions?
At their positions. Are they going to start on this team?
Exactly. Maybe.
Well, you wanted stars. We heard the star, but we added Tur.
Greg Olson.
Starters. Russ, we got starters.
Greg Olson.
Remember Greg? He was a star back in the day. He was a star.
He's going to be a TV star.
Yeah.
For sure.
And some networks think he's a star.
All right. Are you done? I've got three little pieces of evidence.
He might be our starter, depending on what happens with a few of the other guys who also play the same position. We've got 9 of them. So he may be the starter.
By week 10, everyone gets a week.
Okay, so he didn't get his stars or his superstars in free agency. I think we can all agree on that.
He got a couple starters.
I think we can all agree we heard Russell in a way that we had never heard him before. Over an hour that he spent with the local media on a Zoom call and did not talk football for 1 second of it. Talked social justice, talked about his role, talked about what he has learned, talked about moving it forward. In that willingness to be transparent, put himself out there, never heard that before. And I think we're going to get more of that. And lastly, I would say his workout with Antonio Brown last week was also a statement to be made.
Hey, that leaked.
What's that?
That really got out there. I mean, it's almost like someone leaked that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't keep that secret at all.
No.
Huh.
No, not one bit. Nope. Not one bit.
So you think that was on purpose that got out?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't think Russell does that 2 years ago. I don't think Russell does that 5 years ago. I don't think he goes down that road with somebody that more than likely is going to be suspended in this league, that's got a track record that player has. And, you know, maybe through some of the different outlets and people that he knows, I think Russell's made it pretty clear that he would love to see. Is Antonio Brown a superstar? At this stage of his career, if they sign him today and Russell gets his wish.
He's absolutely a superstar.
But he's one with a giant asterisk.
Well, for sure. But, I mean, as far as playing on the team and playing in the NFL, superstar.
In terms of his ability and what he's done on the field, absolutely, yes. Superstar ability.
So there you go. So Russell is going to turn around in July. And if you're not going to make it happen in March or in April or May, is he forcing the issue a little bit? And this is what I mean by Russell. I think going into year 9 with the standing that he has, the standing in that building he has, and this is natural. I mean, this is what happens with Peyton and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger. They assume more and more voice and control the longer they have been there. To your point, Mike. It's Pete Carroll and it's Russell Wilson. They're the biggest stars. They're the biggest names. Can you even imagine heading into this 2020 season with this roster minus Russell Wilson? Could you imagine? it would be a non-starter. You would be competing with Arizona at the bottom of the division. The only reason that you are competing for this division, the only reason that you're a playoff contender is number three.
But let's address the Antonio Brown thing for a moment, and then we can kind of get back to the bigger picture here. Just off the top of your head right now, and I'm not going to hold you to this, and by the way, the roster may change considerably between now and the time the season starts and certainly finishes, but just quick thought right now. 16 games, assuming a 16-game season, what is the Seahawks record this year right now? Just off the top of your head.
Yeah, 10-6, 9-7.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was going to go 10-6, 11-5.
Yeah, I would have said that too. 10-6, 11-5. But okay, we're all in agreement in the 10-6 range.
Yep.
Add Antonio Brown tomorrow. Sign him. What is the Seahawks record at the end of the year?
10-6.
Well, he's going to probably be out the first 8 games.
It'd be 10-6.
I don't think he makes a lick of difference to them.
Yep.
I honestly, I don't think he makes a lick of difference. I think for every game he might win you, there's another game he might lose you because of everything going on off the field.
Yep.
And I feel icky the entire time that I got that guy on my team now.
Yes.
So I don't think he helps, legitimately. And that's not to say he's not a really good player. I don't think he changes their record by a single game, positively or even necessarily negatively. That being said, go sign Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
Does that change them from 10-6 to 11-5?
Yes.
Maybe even 12-4.
Maybe. I mean, he single-handedly.
Depending on how things break.
He single-handedly beat the best overall team in the league. I think Baltimore was probably the best overall team in the league last year, and San Francisco roster-wise number two, and obviously Kansas City won the whole thing, largely with Mahomes and that offense. It was ridiculous, but he beat the San Francisco 49ers. You don't beat them last year without Clowney. So
what are we doing here? Why are we even talking about Antonio Brown or anyone related to the offense, which we all know is going to be just fine? With Shoddy, without Shoddy, with Russ cooking, with Russ hanging out in the back doing dishes, it doesn't matter. Their offense is going to be just fine. They've got Russell Wilson. This defense, right now, on paper, stinks. On paper. Maybe they're better when they get off of paper. Maybe when they get on the field, they're better than that. And maybe someone rises to the occasion and gets to the passer. I'd like to say this as directly as possible because I feel like maybe we've been beating around the bush this whole offseason. On paper, this defense stinks. It can't get to the quarterback. It might not be able to stop the run. I like what they've done at safety. I like Diggs. I like the potential of actually what they could do in the back end. And even their linebackers could be, in some way, depending on what happens with a rookie, they might be better. But KJ's a year older, and they haven't done much to address the defensive tackle spot or the defensive end spot. So I don't know whether the linebackers are going to be able to run free and do whatever they're supposed to be able to do. So my guess is that right now on paper, this offense isn't good. It's bad.
Defense.
This defense.
And by the way, not fair to say they didn't address it. That is wholly unfair. They used their most expensive or second most expensive draft capital.
This year, unaddressed. Yep.
They got a leaky boat, and they're putting duct tape on it.
They signed Mayoa and Bruce Irvin to what Bruce gets?
Get some $8 million seal, bucks. Baby. You got to get some flex seal in there. Instantly turns
what
into
what I would
side
say is, if you want to use your leaky boat analogy, they had a leaky boat, they put a little bit of duct tape on it, and then bought another boat for a few years from now on layaway. Like, we're going to get another boat. It's not ready yet.
They bought all the pieces for the boat. It's in a box.
We've got a sail to where that boat is. So hopefully the duct tape we have holds up during the journey, because the new boat is like 3,000 miles across the ocean that way. It's in Hawaii. Just got to fly. We just got to, we got to row there.
And Russell Wilson,
there.
Our engine is right now operating at peak efficiency. Right. We think by the time he gets there, it'll be just stopping to be at peak efficiency. So it might not be quite as good, but that boat's going to be great once we put this old motor on it.
Brock, their defense on paper is not good. For right now, this year.
Yep.
I like some. I don't mind the picks for the future. Those guys might turn out to be really good eventually. But right now, for 2020, this season, you can't tell me that the defense looks better than it did last year. And last year wasn't very good.
Well, and in the NFC West and in the NFC in particular. I mean, in your own division, you have to win. I mean, if you're going to talk about any legitimate, and really all that matters to this quarterback is adding, another Super Bowl to his legacy, and the head coach and the GM and everybody that's been there a decade. And to win, this division, and you just look at those numbers on paper, and Howdy, I know you crunched Pro Football Focus's numbers and grades as well, and you just, you look at what, you know, that group was a season ago and where they are and at the stage of many of their careers. And yes, it is a, there is no way on paper. I think anybody could say it's better than league average on paper. And that's not going to win you a division, especially this NFC West.
And what is upsetting to me is that I feel like it could have been. Like, they could have addressed it. There's more they could have done. It just feels like they haven't done it. And maybe they still will. Again, on these comments are on paper as it stands today. They could absolutely get better. Of course that's possible. They could sign Clowney.
You want Chris Jones?
Sure. I mean, like, I want somebody. I don't know whether I'm, you know, I haven't gone through the details of what I'd have to give up in order to get him. Yep. But I want someone who can get to the passer. Somebody, and by the way, someone who could stop the run on early downs or keep people off of Bobby Wagner. Remember a few months ago we were talking about letting Bobby eat? Have they done anything? I know let Russ cook gets all the attention because it's easy and it makes sense. And intrinsically, it's simple to get to let Russ cook. But let Bobby eat? They spent almost as much money on Bobby as they did on Russ.
Yeah.
Did they do anything to help Bobby? Russ is talking about superstars. Why isn't Bobby beating his chest right now? Why isn't Bobby getting up to the megaphone and saying, hey, Russ, appreciate that you're working out with Antonio Brown. I'm working out with a couple of gigantic defensive linemen who I could use to help me. I'm working out with Jadeveon Clowney, and yes. I'm working out with Chris Jones, or name other 10 guys that might be able to help our defense. Where's Bobby?
Hopefully he's doing that behind the scenes. We don't know. But hopefully. Because they need it. You're absolutely right.
They need it more than they need Antonio Brown, who I don't think, and none of us think, changes their record by a game.
But you can't blame Russell Wilson for trying to do something to make his team.
No one's blaming Russ. It's not about being mad at Russ.
Because I think Russell sees that defense, to be fair, and Russell felt it last year. Some of the burden of responsibility that you're going to have to carry that load offensively. You're not getting takeaways. You're not getting splash plays. You're not giving up 13, 15, 17 points a game. You're going to have to score. And I think that's where he looks at it and says, okay, if that's the case, and I got to play against Aaron Donald twice a year, who's in my pocket the minute I drop back, and I've got to play against the 49ers and Bosa and that crew twice a year, and even the Arizona Cardinals, who thumped me at the end of last season in a home game with a backup quarterback that came in the second half for them. So if that's the responsibility on me, then I need someone like Antonio Brown to go with DK Metcalf, to go with Tyler Lockett, and actually give me a viable option of game-changing players. Because, I mean, heaven forbid if something were to happen to Tyler or DK again moving into next season or at some point in the season, then it's what? Then it's Philip Dorsett? Then it's David Moore.
It's not good.
No.
Johnny,
then you know, you can say, well, the offense is going to be just fine. And Russell's going to tell you, Mike, that's fine. We're going to be just fine. And maybe I can will in my wins above replacement player or 4 or 5, and I can get this team to 9 and 10 wins. But I'm talking getting back to where we've been.
Yeah, but Antonio Brown doesn't get them there either.
Only
he doesn't.
He's a perfect, perfect, perfect teammate. If he is truly 100% bought it, which is not going to happen,
I think even if he is, I don't think he gets them there.
I don't know.
I don't think he's enough to do that. Tell me the last time the best wide receiver won a Super Bowl. Doesn't
Randy
happen.
Moss.
When did Randy Moss win a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, maybe he didn't win with the Patriots. Huh.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
He definitely did not. In fact,
that's a freezing cold take, Howdy.
He had won 18 straight games when he got to the Super Bowl. Didn't win it so much.
Yeah.
Randy Moss never won a Super Bowl. Julio Jones never won a Super Bowl. Larry Fitzgerald? What Super Bowl did he win?
With Kurt Warner.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I did this before. I did this like 5 years ago.
He didn't win
ago.
The Super Bowl. Now, they've gotten to them.
Right.
So, obviously, Julio Jones got there, too. I mean, like, it's kind of a wishy-washy argument to say that. I'm being a little unfair by saying it. But, generally, the best wide receiver and having that guy is not that important. It really is. You got to have the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks. You got to have, you know, a defense that does its thing. You got to have an offensive line, et cetera. But best wide receiver? You got two really good wide receivers right now in Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Yep.
You are barking up the wrong tree. I totally get where Russ is coming from. I know why he wants it, but I think he's barking up the wrong tree because unless you're going to completely change your offense and create one of these, you know, matchup nightmares for everybody where all three guys are constantly, which they're not going to do, and nor should they. You know, Brock, you asked me how much more vocal Russ is going to be this year. And I guess I would answer your question with another question, which is, do you think Russ knows what Russ does best?
Yes. He wins. I think that's what he would say. Okay. He's like, Mike, yeah, I know exactly what I do
we
best.
We have to take winning off the table for a moment. Like, okay. In terms of, and that's not, that's, you know.
You got to focus process, not results.
Exactly. In terms of process, do you think he knows what the things that he does best?
I think he does. At this stage of his career, I really believe he does.
I do too. I tend to think that's the case.
I think he believes that he's the best deep ball thrower in the game. Yep. I think he believes he's the best on the move thrower in the game. Yep. I think he believes that his play action is the best in the game. I think he believes over the last couple seasons where he's been given more authority in this system to own the line of scrimmage, that he can do that with checks and getting in and out and protecting himself as well as anybody in the league.
And throw in the creativity that he has. I mean, that's as up there with anyone, including Mahomes and those guys. I mean, that creativity sets him apart. But there's one other thing that I would submit is right there, and Brock, you and I have talked about it a million times, and that's his efficiency. Does Russ know that his efficiency is one of his best characteristics?
Yeah.
Really?
I think he does too.
Yeah, taking really? Care of the football. Efficiency is based on taking care of the football more than anything else. Yeah, you want a high efficiency number, then have your touchdown to interception be off the charts. You want to have a career passer rating of 102, only behind Aaron Rodgers and now obviously Patrick Mahomes in the history of the league. Take care of the football. Have a governor on the football. Protect that football at all costs as much as you possibly can. Throw touchdowns when they matter to win games and have a touchdown interception that's 2, 3, 4 to 1. And your efficiency is going to be off the charts.
I think he's known that. And I certainly think Pete knows that is one of Russ's best strengths. I've been under the impression that Russell also knows what he's not. I think Russell knows he's not a prototypical 6'4" pocket gunner, right? He knows that, right? He knows that. He certainly acted like he knows that. I mean, he doesn't hang in the pocket forever and ever and ever and wait for everything to happen. He takes off early sometimes, and I'm okay with that. Not a critique. Yeah. He uses the skills that he's best at, which are his creativity, throwing on the run, all the things you just mentioned, rather than trying to overutilize the skills that he has but aren't necessarily his best skills, namely standing tall in the pocket because he's not and just gunning the ball all over the place. That's not
I think
who he
would
is.
Bristle. I think he would bristle at that and say, that is an extension. Look at what I was at Wisconsin when I set the all-time single season. Yes, it was passer rating or efficiency number.
But I'm not saying he's not good at that. There's a huge difference. This isn't critical. It's not saying, look at him. He can't stand tall in the pocket and throw the ball. Of course he can. He's great at that. Not as great as he is at the other things. The other things are what truly sets him apart.
Yeah.
If he's just standing in the pocket, he's a very good, maybe great quarterback. He's in the top 10. Add in the rest of his game, he's top 3.
Yeah.
And that is why the idea of changing the whole system and all of it makes no sense to me. You're turning your top 3 player into a top 10 player. Why? For what?
I think
to
the
get
argument,
Antonio Brown here?
I think the argument
okay,
would
sign
be,
me up for that.
If you were to give him the Kansas City Chiefs O-line, if you were to give him the New Orleans Saints O-line, if you were to give him an offensive line that gives him a consistent pocket, the part of the reason that we've watched him run around, and I'm just making the case for him,
that's
and I
fair.
Think what you would hear a little bit from him and certainly his people around him and why they would bristle at that is, give him the pocket around him that some of his peers
that's
have
fine.
Had over the years.
I'll buy that. I'll agree
and,
with you. I'll
and
agree
watch
with
what he can do.
I would agree with
and
it.
And this is his first step to
then, Russ, where were you a few months ago when Jack Conklin was available? Not now when the remnants of Antonio Brown are being picked through by scavengers. Where were you when Jack Conklin was available? Because I don't think the thing that Russ needs is another weapon on the outside. I don't mind that they went out and signed 9 offensive linemen or whatever it is. I would have preferred that they spend the money on some good ones. Like I personally would have gone with Jack Conklin instead of 3 of the other guys.
Yeah.
But okay, I understand the theory here. You're trying to make sure the pocket. Okay, I'm good with that. But you don't need Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
That's not what you need. Not
but
now.
But you do need Clowney.
Yeah.
But
or
you do
someone like him.
And in fact, that little clip you played of him wanting superstars.
Free agency is very, very key to get superstars on your team.
Yeah. And just before that, he said, I mean, we got to get Clowney back. I mean, the guys make splash
plays.
He
wanted Clowney back and superstars.
Yes, he did.
He was calling for the Howdy plan. He wanted Conklin and Clowney. Double C's. Take it to the house.
in one of those rare cases where the Howdy plan was actually the right thing to do. I gotta say,
hey,
you're on fire the last couple weeks. Last week you nailed it with the taxi squad, and now you're on fire with the Howdy plan. So I don't know, man. Russ needs a good defense.
Yes.
One that doesn't put him behind the eight ball and maybe even gets him the ball in scoring position now and again on the plus side of the 50. And maybe Diggs will add to some of that this year. And
Dunbar?
Maybe. I mean, like,
on paper, where do you have Dunbar on paper? Is he available? Have we heard from his attorney recently?
Not yet.
Have we heard from Kendricks? Has he been charged? Where's that thing?
He's not on the team.
He's not
right
playing
now
with us.
He's not on the team.
He's out.
No, that's been delayed.
Not coming. Not coming back.
That's still delayed. Still pending.
Getting pushed down. Okay. Here's another just piece of curiosity for me. How will Russ handle now being in everyone's consensus top three? It's kind of the first time we've seen that, right? I mean, he might lag behind Mahomes. He's right there, though. He's in the top two, three. Everybody's got him in their top
three. So you're saying when Sando's report comes out, he's going to be tier one?
I think he will be. I think he was last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was. I mean, he just barely sneaked in there. But yeah, I think he will be. Russell's right there. He's amongst the top three in the game. The thing I always find interesting about Russ is he does seem to judge himself against the other best quarterbacks in the game, or at least that's the impression I've always gotten. Maybe it's not based on anything. And I'm not criticizing. I think that's great. He plays really well against the best.
Yes.
I happen to just pull some of those notes. Remember we were talking about how he was undefeated against Brady, Rodgers, Manning, and Breeze?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true anymore. I think that's the tweet I've sent in my life that has the most, that got seen the most. Mm. We spelled Rodgers' name wrong, of course. But
right.
I mean, when you're going to go big, make sure you do something really dumb.
Yeah.
That's always, it's important. But I went and pulled some of Russ's numbers. So against MVP winners, against quarterbacks who have won the MVP. So in the league right now, that's Brady, that he's played against. That's Brady, Manning, Breeze is not. Drew Breeze never won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Mm. No.
Brady, Manning, Rodgers,
Lamar Jackson,
Mahomes,
Newton. Which Manning's in the league?
Just Peyton. No, that he's played against. I didn't say in the league.
Oh, okay.
That he's played against.
Gotcha.
Cam and Lamar Jackson and Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's won an MVP, but yep, not Drew
right.
Brees.
Crazy.
That's
here.
Insane.
Matt Ryan. Oh, that's right.
He's 18-10 against that group.
Hmm.
18-10. If you swap Brees and Ryan to get like a better indication of elite quarterbacks, he's 18-8. He's actually struggled more against the Falcons. Remember, he loses to them in the playoffs twice. So
yeah,
he's and they beat him last year, but Ryan wasn't playing. So he's 18-8 against the best quarterbacks in the game. By the way, 1-0 against Deshaun Watson, an epic battle, and 5-0 against Big Ben and Eli Manning.
Hmm.
So if you really want to start, if you want to add those ones in there, throw in another 6 wins, you could make the argument he's 24-8 against elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, and it matters to him.
You think?
Yes. And I think it will still matter to him that Patrick Mahomes now gets on paper more money than him over the long term, that he's won an MVP, that he is going to be at the top of the pedestal, and will there be any less chip or any less drive or any less motivation because Russell's now put in a tier one? Absolutely not. Will not change any of his makeup, will not change any of his wiring, will not change any of his mindset whatsoever. He will still, until he gets an MVP vote, until he wins an MVP, until he wins another Super Bowl, I don't think there is anything that will diminish
he's
any
trying to
of
be
his
just like
drive
his,
or
just
makeup.
Like his idol, Drew Brees.
Yep.
Trying to win one Super Bowl and never win an MVP.
Yep.
He's right in the Drew Brees lane right now. I mean, I was shocked by that. How has Drew Brees never won the MVP?
Yeah.
You think those MVPs are a dime a dozen?
I mean, no, I understand that they don't like just hand them out. But, I mean, it is crazy that for all the yards and everything he's put up that he's never won.
What's his record versus Cam, you said?
Well, it is 7-1.
Wow.
That helps.
That's pretty good.
7-8 times.
He's 7-1 against Cam. That doesn't include the game last year where they won even though Cam wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 7-1. He lost the playoff game where they got down early in the first half. Everybody made mistakes, right? They fumbled. Like everything went wrong.
He had like 28 points in the first half.
Yeah, it was correct. Ridiculous. And then they came almost all the way back. They almost came back in that game. It was crazy.
He led them on an epic comeback in the second half. So, yeah, I mean, you know, some of these games are funky. I mean, he's 4-4 against Aaron Rodgers. That started off, obviously, a lot better than it's been since then. But, yeah, I mean, 2-0 against Peyton Manning, 2-1 against Brady, 2-1 against Breeze, 1-0 against Mahomes. Yeah, 7-1 against Cam stands out, 0-1 against, 0-1 against Lamar Jackson last year, losing to Baltimore. So, yeah, I mean, Russ clearly gets up for those games, right? And I would say Pete Carroll gets up for them, too. I think there's an element of how Pete Carroll gets up for stopping some of those teams.
No question about it. So having said all of that, I'll go back to the original premise when we began this, knowing that he's one of the top tier one quarterbacks, knowing where he stands in this league. I don't think it diminishes or changes any of his wiring whatsoever as far as motivation. But I think it does empower him to have more say and to have more voice in the fact that he's working out with Antonio Brown last week, and that's out and that's visible and that's a hey. And in the fact that he's got, you know, I think through some of his different people in the media and otherwise making it clear that, he would love to see that. He would love to see that happen. He'd love to add that weapon. I think just yet another indicator that we're going to, whether we hear it publicly all the time or in his press conferences, probably not, but certainly behind the scenes and I think certainly with the people that would have any influence whatsoever, I think Russell will be, rightfully so, a little more demanding of what he would like to see added to this team and added to this roster so he could beat the Rams, so he can beat the Niners, so he can win his division, so he can win his conference, and ultimately get back to the place that they were a couple times early in his career.
And what does that do? If he is what you just said, and he is more demanding, vocal, et cetera, how does it change things?
Well, I think ultimately they're also going to come back to him and say, okay, you like that, then you know, you're, you know, the guy that you're chasing that has six rings, you see how he structured his deal for this team, right? I think ultimately that would probably be the play that the team would have coming back to him, say, okay, you want Clowney? Free up some money. You know, like, I mean, put your money where your mouth is. And if that's what you want, there's a way to do this. If you want to, you know, eat up $35 million of the cap, it's going to limit some of the things we can do. And then obviously he's going to come back and say, well, do we really need Shell and Finney and Aboyhi and Ayupati and Irvin and Mayoa? And, you know, I mean,
right.
I think that
there's
that
other
is
ways to get that done. Yes. And the answer might be, yes, we did need those guys. We need because we need depth and we need the star power. And if we just get the star power, it's not enough because those guys get hurt. As we saw last year, Clowney was unavailable for however many games. And that's not enough for us. And we saw what happens when there's when the offensive line does. So, yes. I think it's just a
healthy, natural back and forth where I don't think Russell got into that lane whatsoever for the first 5-6 years of his career. But I think now at this place and this standing and what he means here and where he stands in this league – and I think through this offseason, we have heard him on a number of different occasions or seen him on a different occasion a little bit differently. You know, I think that there's going to be a little more authority and a little more power in that building to voice his opinion. Whether it carries any weight, whether it's going to get a deal done, don't know. To be determined. But I mean, and I would sure love to see a certain defensive end come back to this roster.
This ratchets up in the short term. It ratchets up the pressure on the front office is really what this does. Because if he's going to start voicing his opinion and they're going to start ignoring it or continue to ignore it, you're creating a powder keg situation and all of a sudden you're the Green Bay Packers and you've got Aaron Rodgers on your hands and you got to figure out how to manage this situation. So him speaking out is putting pressure on the front office in some capacity.
But he doesn't do it like Aaron Rodgers. He's
yet.
So far, I don't think he will. I don't see that. Russ and Aaron Rodgers are not built similar.
Well, he's got one other
at all. I mean, and what does he do? He lets the video leak of Antonio Brown working out. He's not going to go out there and
this
and demand
year.
Things.
What happens next year and the year after that when they continue to ignore it?
Don't buy it.
I think he has one other advantage or one other play, Howdy, where an Aaron Rodgers and those guys don't, is he could have the power of the people on his side. The let Russ cook that we have watched kind of grow. And we have heard, you know, it's kind of quiet chatter to begin with, and then it's a little bit louder chatter, and all of a sudden you're finding many of the national voices, and Amina Kimes, it's going to be, you know, on NFL Live now beginning in August, who has certainly championed some of that belief, and many others that you're going to have in the media, you're going to have in the fan base, you're going to have folks clamoring for give Russell more control. Let Russ cook is give him more. Let him have the tools. Let him have more. That's never been the case for Aaron Rodgers, whose whole team and identity is built with offensive coaches around, right, an offensive philosophy, and Drew Brees with Sean Payton and many of those different environments. Peyton Manning
how's
running
that,
his own
how's
system.
That worked for Rodgers, by the way? How many Super Bowls have they won?
They got one.
They got the one.
Yep.
Since then, since all the building around Aaron Rodgers and everything that, none, zero. I haven't even been back. So I find that argument to
been
be
in the
very
NFC
troubling.
Championship game a couple times.
Yeah, they have.
You know, been in the playoffs just about every year.
I mean, last year, was it the NFC Championship game where Aaron just quit?
Oh, yeah.
That was the NFC Championship game, right? I mean, they got to the NFC Championship game, at least to the beginning of that game. Two series in, Rodgers walked away like, I'm good. We're good here. That team's better.
But wouldn't you agree that he's going to have more? He would have more support, I think, externally in those forces, whatever that is worth, whatever value you put into that. And we have seen, though, the power of some of that media and the power of some of the voice of the people that rise up and say, let Russ cook.
Yeah, and I think what I would argue is that at this point, the only thing that gets this team, it's not a Super Bowl. It doesn't turn them into a better team. It just makes Russell a bigger name. And if he's already going to be listed in the top three, I don't know that that's necessary or important in any
way.
To a degree. I just don't think it helps them.
But I think if you really listen to what we just did over the last half hour, I think you and I have voiced many of the opinions of that crowd. And that is, if you're not going to be an elite defense, then what are you doing? If you're not going to have, right, if you're not going to let him cook.
It doesn't even need to be elite, Brock. It just needs to be good. No one's saying they have to have the same defense they had in 13 and 14, 15, whatever. They just have to be good.
Then how
they just
have
to get off the field occasionally late in games. Yep. Just don't get waxed. I don't think that's asking too much. Again, I'm not saying right now this defense isn't great. I'm saying they kind of stink. That's a big difference, and that's not going to be fixed by letting Russ cook. Yeah. That only gets fixed by signing, drafting, and acquiring really good players who come together and play great defense.
And being right on Bruce Irvin, in that he's going to be an 8-9 sack guy. And being right on Benson Mayoa,
right,
that he's going to be a 6-7 sack guy. And being right on your first-round pick from the year before, an L.J. Collier, that can be a 5 or 6 sack guy. And being right that Rasheem Green took steps and is going to take a bigger step and be a 5-6 sack guy. And be right that we signed Jaron Reed, even though he missed the first 6 games and was a shell of himself in many ways last year, he's going to get back to the double-digit sack form. Right, that they're going to be right in those decisions that they made. That's where they put their dollars. That's where they put their belief. That's where they put their draft capital in their offseason. The big one was Jaron Reed. They made a decision, really. You know, I think he was their first big free agent signing, and you're double-digit, $10-plus million-a-year guy. You have got to be a difference maker, and that is what they are counting on.
Brock, we've spent time at Ascend Prime before. You and I have sat up there. We have broken bread together there. What do you call it when you're eating sushi and steak? You're not really breaking bread. You're just like delving in, I guess. Like,
you're just not really talking or breaking anything. You're just devouring.
You're just eating. And you're looking at the great view. The whole experience at Ascend Prime is pretty awesome. But they're also launching Ascend Catered Dining, because you can't always make it to the restaurant. This is their solution for your next event or the party of any size. Dinner party, birthday, wedding, guys night, virtual event, Zoom dinner, whatever the case may be. New seasonal menu items, world-class team here to ensure your next event is a huge success. Here are some things on this menu, Brock. Wood-fire salmon with kalbi yaki marinated Wayu skirt, or the beef and reef. The beef and reef.
It's like surf and turf?
It's like surf and turf, but it's beef and reef. It's their take on an elevated surf and turf. It's even better. It's beef and reef. Comes with a starter, a main course, and a dessert for each person. So they have some really, really great stuff on the catering menu at Ascend. Or, of course, you can come in. They're making safety and service top priorities in the restaurant, of course. Tables spread out, 6 feet apart, etc. Parties only up to 5 people. Hand sanitizer throughout. Masks on all the employees. And the same great service, an unbelievable steak that you have become accustomed to. Ascend Prime in Bellevue. It is truly spectacular. All right, Brock, a short two-story version of Potpourri, because we took too much time
We're up against the clock again.
We're up against.
We keep doing this.
We're up against our own clock. We also have things to do. It's not just about the like radio clock. We have things to do in our life. So a couple things that we did want to hit on, and I'll start with Felix. Felix Brock, as we get ready for baseball season, and I'm pretty darn excited for baseball season. Don't get me wrong. Felix is not, however. He has decided to opt out of the 2020 season for the Braves.
Mm. This is a challenging one, Salt.
I know
this
is
a challenging
is.
One
hard.
Because you know these players, rightfully so, especially the baseball players. We've seen a number of them. Right, Ian Desmond is being another, and David Price down with the Dodgers have opted out. And they have every power within their CBA to do so and protect
and
themselves, to protect their families.
There will be more, too. I don't think it's just going to be them. I think there will be more.
Nick Markakis, I believe, over this at the start of the week as well.
I think it's mostly going to be guys who have enough money to afford it. It's not going to be the guys who feel like they need to make their money. I mean, so there's some issues with that also in terms of who can and who has the ability to opt out sort of de facto.
Correct.
So there are some curious questions there as well. But
yes,
there are going to be a bunch of guys who do this. Felix is not alone.
And to be fair for Felix.
Would not have put Felix in that camp of being one that at this stage of his career, unless he just wants to sail off into the sunset, and I mean, he's made hundreds of millions of dollars, so, and hopefully he was wise with it and put it away and can, you know, impact his generations to come. But from a baseball playing standpoint, a resurrect your career standpoint, if you want to get to the Baseball Hall of Fame standpoint, you got to keep playing.
There's two things I want to play for you because he joined this station. Rare appearance. He joined the station back in May when COVID was starting to really come into form and we were really starting to see the effects. And he talked about what it was going to be like for him and his perspective on coming back and playing.
Man, I'll tell you something, man. This time, I don't know. We don't know nothing yet. Hopefully we can play. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to risk my life. I'm not going to risk my family. So I don't know.
He doesn't know. He's not going to risk his life and his family. So that's what he said months ago.
Yeah.
Also, what he said to exactly what you're talking about, is this just a way for him to hang it up? Well, here was his response.
No, actually, I'm not thinking about that yet because I think that I still got more to do on the game of baseball. And I know I can pitch. I got a lot of weapons to just go up there and get people out. But actually, I don't know. I'm going to go year by year because my goal is to get to 200 wins. And to get to 3,000 strikeouts. So if we get to that goal, I can hang my spikes. I'm done.
I'm going to guess, Brock, you're troubled by that. We never really got to that in May. I'm guessing you're troubled by that last one.
What, 200 wins and 3,000 strikeouts?
Yeah.
He's an independent contractor. I mean, that's the mix of baseball, man. Baseball, I've learned this.
Not everybody.
If this was 12 years ago or whatever when we started out, I'd have lost my mind. But I think over 11, 12 years of watching baseball, of covering baseball, of learning the dynamics, that it's called a team game, that you want to believe that clubhouses are special with great leaders and everybody's willing to give of themselves for the betterment of others. And I think I've learned pretty well that especially at the top of that food chain, there are a bunch of independent contractors that want to get theirs. That want to get their numbers, that want to get their stats, that want to have their own legacy, and whether that is wearing a Seattle Mariners ball cap or a Braves ball cap, or you know, for Ken Griffey Jr. to wear a Mariners and then a Reds, and for Randy Johnson to wear a Mariners and then a Diamondbacks, and you know, the list goes on and on. Independent contractors when they come to the very top of the food chain.
Yeah, there's an element of that. They don't generally say it quite like that, though. I mean, generally they at least make a nod towards a ring. Generally, at least there's like a head fake towards making the playoffs for the first time in their career, or maybe even one day winning a ring.
Winning games is at least on the radar somewhere.
Right. Maybe somewhere team success at least factors in to the types of goals you might want in your career. It at least comes up. I'm not saying it's number one. You're right. They're independent contractors. And if they get to 200 wins, 3,000 strikeouts, or whatever other big number, it should help the team win. So it's not like they're doing anything wrong, but generally, there's a head fake towards the team game and not just talking directly about their own personal goals, regardless of anything else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The day I get to 200 wins, I'm out of here. Oh, good.
I wonder where you got that idea of just like taking off in the night one day. Who did you play with? Who did that?
Coming back to last podcast.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, did you ever play with anybody who just decided to take off one day? I got my 200. See ya. Peace. I'm out of here.
I don't know, man. I don't mind anybody deciding not to play for this year. I totally get where they're coming from. And if their family is more important, they're right. And if they're worried about the health, I'm not going to judge anybody.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different opinions on what's going on right now and the severity of this illness. And there's a lot of there's enough disagreement amongst too many people that I'm not going to start judging people based on what they think is best for their own family.
Yes.
But I'm also not surprised that Felix Hernandez made this call, and
correct.
And I think that I think it's a lot easier for, again, the players who have the most money to opt out of this, and I'm not wild about that precedent.
The players that have the most money and know that the most money they've made in their career is behind them.
Of course, yes.
The ones that have made a ton of money and they still have a ton of money left to make, that's more surprising. But for guys who've already made their best money and now they're making less and less every year, yeah, makes more
or
sense.
Or like an Ian Desmond and Dave Price, who both
same
have guaranteed,
yeah, guaranteed
millions,
money. I mean, it's all coming
tens
back.
Of millions.
And absolutely yeah. The same situation. They're not getting signed to another big contract.
No,
never again.
Neither one of them.
Yeah.
Yep. So why not just kind of do what you can do now? And I don't think they're trying to. I don't want this to sound like I think that they're trying to cheat the system in any way. I don't think that. I don't think
that. But they have an opportunity.
They would rather play baseball this year as normal. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that any one of these guys is using this as an excuse to quit baseball. I just think it's easier to make this decision and not play if you have all that money in the bank and guaranteed.
Yes.
That's all.
There's no question.
And that's
about
not an insult to them. I get where they're coming from. It's just the system doesn't seem quite right.
So do you get where Felix is coming from? 200 wins and 3,000 strikeouts, Michael.
Let's move on.
Michael.
No, let's move on.
He's going to hang. He's like Marshawn. He's going to throw the spikes up over the wires.
Yep.
200 wins the day it happens.
Marshawn
doesn't matter. If it's in September of a pennant race, 200 wins, 3,000 strikeouts, I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be great. Yeah, I'm good, guys. I got my 200. And he didn't say that, to be fair.
No.
But it doesn't ring very true. I don't know. It doesn't sound right when you hear all that. Hey, speaking of baseball, I know we said we do too. Let me just throw one else in here. So new rules as they get ready to start the season, and I am pumped for the season. And I really do like a lot of what they've decided in terms of rules. I think that they've made, for the most part, good decisions. I think the 60-game season is going to be fun, the short sprint to the playoffs and then mm-hmm. five teams from each league. I think just seeing a limited number of teams is actually going to be kind of fun. Also, I'm really excited for the three batter rule for a pitcher. So just a reminder, pitcher comes into a game. They have to throw to three batters or finish an inning. So you come in. So this is really interesting ways this works out. Okay, there's two outs, men on second and third or whatever it is. You bring in your lefty to get a lefty out. And if he gets him out, you succeed. You can do your lefty one out guy thing. But if that guy walks or gets a hit, now this guy's got to pitch to two more batters or unless he can get out of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden this whole plan has backfired. I think that's brilliant.
Yes.
It leads to great entertainment, interesting decision making, lots to second guess, and it speeds the game along in the process.
Agreed.
I think it's awesome. I love this rule.
Yes.
Long overdue. Kudos to whoever thought of it.
It gets you back to the core of baseball, what it was supposed to be. A good pitchers against good hitters. That's what it's supposed to be. Not just like specific little individual matchups. This guy's got a couple gimmicks he can throw against this guy, and it's over.
Did you see the stat the other day on Bob Gibson?
No.
In 1968. The numbers are all crazy. It's like a 1.12 ERA or something like that. He was never removed from the mound. He was pinch hit for like six times or something like that. So he didn't finish every game, but he was not one time in the entire season taken off the mound in the middle of an inning.
Wow.
That's insane.
Is that when they changed the mound?
It may have been. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
The following year?
He was just.
I would have loved that version of baseball. That version of baseball would be so great.
Yeah.
60s, real 70s. Stars that you can count on and lean on. Every day you go to see that guy in the ballpark, you know you're going to get a great game.
It was basically true until a few years ago. I mean, it was pretty close. I mean, through the 90s and 2000s, I think it was basically true until maybe the last 5 or 10 years where you were going to see big stars do their thing most games against the best players and some of the stuff. You know, we didn't see all of the shifts and all of the, you know, the three true outcome guys until just the last 5 or 6, maybe 10 years. So we got a chance to see some of that. So I love this rule. I think it's a great idea. As much as I love it, I can't begin to work up as much hatred as I have for putting a runner on second base at the 10th inning. This is, and we talked about like the
ghost
idea
runner
of this
on
before.
Second. Ghost runner on second.
This is fixing a problem that doesn't exist. There are plenty of problems in baseball. And rather than fix any of them, the league in its infinite wisdom has decided to fix one that it doesn't have, making extra innings better and shorter. Hey, we suffer through, and for a lot of people, I don't suffer through it, I enjoy it, but I get the argument. Hey, I've suffered through 3.5 hours of a 9-inning baseball game. And now it's close, dramatic, tense, late. Every pitch really counts. Well, let's make sure we end that. Let's get this over quickly. You've suffered through 3 hours of boredom. Let's make sure this ends mercifully. What? This is the height of stupidity. Yeah. You want to put a ghost runner on base like this? Do it in the third. Do it in the fifth. People are bored.
Start the game in the third.
Why not? Give them something entertaining in the middle of the game. Okay, I understand that. I don't like it. But if they did it, I'd laugh. I'd call it Mickey Mouse, but I'd move on with my life. This is not only Mickey Mouse, but stupid, and fixes a problem that no one has with baseball other than baseball writers who want to go home.
Oh, yes.
The only people.
Yes.
The only people. And I've been in those press boxes. I've had the same feeling myself. You know what I want to do? Go out after the game with a couple of my friends. That can't happen until this thing ends, so let's move it along, people. I don't need 12 innings in June.
I got a deadline to hit.
Well, and that's the other thing. They have a deadline, but generally it's not that. Most baseball writers, and this is my experience mostly in Boston, but they just want to go out and, you know, have a few after the game. That's all they want. So they want the game to end so they can go out, hang out, and kind of do their thing like a normal person. But for the most part, everyone else in America enjoys extra innings. It's the best part of baseball.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
You've watched this whole game. Now it's close and late. Every pitch matters. Nah, let's make sure that ends.
And the second best part of baseball is a doubleheader, and that's the same concept.
And you
more
know
baseball.
When you don't,
so
when you don't need it is when you have a 60-game season.
Right. Right.
I mean, you're compounding it, the stupidity of it, in my opinion, yes. For this year, in a 162-game season. I think they tried this in the minors, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't they last year do
Atlantic
this in the minor
league,
leagues? And it must have gone decently or
what does that even mean? It went decently.
It means they had less extra inning games.
Right.
Extra inning games didn't go as
well.
Well,
that's what they wanted.
Right. Which is awful for us. Awful for all of us.
Name me the last time even a bad team. You're watching the Mariners in one of these bad years. It goes to the 10th or 11th.
Ooh.
Are you ever like, I better turn this thing off now? No, you turn it off in the fifth when it's boring.
Yes.
Nobody turns off the game in the 10th or the 11th.
Nope.
Especially this year when they're going to start at 6 o'clock a lot of the time.
And especially this year when there's 60 games sprint. But maybe this is to the benefit of the Mariners, Salky. Okay, maybe all of this. A 60-game season gives them a shot. Having D. Gordon at second base to begin every inning in the extra innings. Just get to extra innings and you can put him on second. Maybe this is a way.
What was the guy they had a few years ago who had played with the Royals?
Oh,
outfielder.
Gerard Dyson. Yeah, or we can bring out Iram Boca Chica from back in the day. Oh, man, that guy could fly.
Great. This is ridiculous. This is the worst idea they've had in baseball in forever. They got 100 different problems. This isn't one of them. So yeah. This is the one they're going to try to fix. It's so stupid. Bryson DeChambeau. Brock, I like him. I like Bryson.
You like him like you like Jordan Spieth, and they're two guys with the same character, and it showed up this weekend.
Two perfect shots, Michael. You got me in the water on one and over the green on the other.
Taking Michael Grauer to task right there. Two perfect shots, Michael.
Are you done? I don't even have Kyle here with me to help today. Kyle's on vacation.
Two perfect shots, Michael.
Yeah, and his caddy got him wrong. That's his job, is to get the shots right. You do not get to compare Jordan Spieth to Bryson DeChambeau.
It doesn't
work. No, you know you don't. You're just trying to irk me and get under my skin, and I won't let it happen. So Bryson wins again. It was his, I think, sixth win in his first, I don't know, 100 starts or something.
I think
like
he's 180 under par to begin this four.
He's been unbelievable, right?
Yes.
He is the story of golf right now, by the way. If you're not watching, he is gigantic. Did you read his diet?
No.
It's 6 to 7 6 to 7 shakes a day.
Whoa!
In addition to like it's like a bunch of bacon, five eggs.
Yeah, he looks a little
peanut
bloated.
Butter and jelly. Oh, he looks gigantic.
His plan is to add as much mass as he can, is what he said. And he's not just fat. He is adding a ton of mass.
It's good and bad weight.
It's like when a weightlifter does do weight training. They are trying to get to a certain size, and then they go on a different cycle to cut down to a certain muscle.
He's pummeling the ball. I mean, he's absolutely pummeling
average drive distance, I think, is 360 yards right now.
That's not true.
Average drive distance.
No way that's true. Go look that up.
Just reading it yesterday.
It's not 360.
360.
No, it isn't.
No.
360-yard average drive distance.
No. Maybe 316.
It's not 360.
370 yards.
Nope. No, it's not that. But he did hit one like 340 in the air at the Rocket Mortgage this weekend. It rolled another 40. It was like a 380-yard drive or something. It was ridiculous. Anyway, he won again this weekend, but that's not what is getting the press. And by the way, he's finished in the top 10 in every tournament since they've come back. Is that right? I mean, he's out of control. So he had a bad shot out of the sand, and then he kind of spiked his club. He got mad about it. And the camera guy was watching him the whole time. So afterwards, he says he was literally watching me the whole entire way up after getting out of the bunker, walking up to the next green. And I was like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand it's his job to video me. But at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hearing someone's and hurting someone's image. I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. This troubles me, and I like Bryson.
That's not
he goes on to say, as much as we're out here performing, I think it's necessary that we have our times of privacy as well when things aren't going our way. I mean, we're in the spotlight, but if somebody else is in the spotlight, they wouldn't want that either. I feel like when you're videoing someone and you catch Tiger at a bad time, you show him accidentally doing something or someone else, they're just frustrated because they really care about the game. It could really hurt if they catch you at a potentially vulnerable time. I hate this so much. Here's my only answer to you, Bryce. And I understand. I root for Bryson DeChambeau. I root for him to win.
And you understand what he's saying.
You keep the pin in for Bryson.
I like Bryson.
You believe in friction.
I think the coefficient of friction and all. I love his analytical engineering approach to the game. I'm fascinated by him, and I want him to win to prove some of the old stuffy golf guys wrong. I think it's great. I love Bryson. But if that's going to be your argument that the camera guy shouldn't follow you and pick up your reaction, feel free to give back the $1.35 million you won this weekend because it all came off TV money. There's not a person in the stands. So give back the 1.3. If you don't want the TV camera in your face and you don't want the people to follow you around to catch your good and your bad, give back the money because that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, the only other side of this, I'll play a little devil's advocate, just knowing how some of this works in the NFL. In you know, comparing the two is probably a challenge. And you want to talk about independent contractors. Golfers are just that. They are independent contractors in what they do. So they don't have necessarily a shield that governs 1,500 of them like the league does.
No,
but, you
true.
Know, the league mics up all these players, right? And the NFL films and the sounds of the game and everything else. It is my understanding that all of that sound then gets sent to the teams, and the teams and their communications department, PR people get to sort through that.
Yeah, this isn't that though, Brock. I know what you're saying, but this isn't that. It's not about necessarily the words. This would be like, you know, a quarterback saying, hey, don't film me after I throw an interception. I don't want someone to see that I'm upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, silly. That's part of the game. Ever since Carlton Fisk's home run in 1976, that's how it goes.
Yes, and I would also say this is the exact opposite response of what you want. If you want less critique, Bryson, if you want them to get off you, if you feel like at times you're just unfairly judged, then the worst thing you can do is this.
Right.
Is this. It's Mike Stoops. It was Mike Stoops who screamed at Carter Blackburn, one of the nicest human beings you're ever going to meet, Carter Blackburn. And, you know, Carter was just kind of asking him, and this was in one of our production meetings about, you know, just his sidelines. Because the year before, Mike told our crew that, his family kind of holds him accountable. They're kind of tired of watching him turn beet red and lose his mind on the sidelines and everything else. And Carter kind of gently asked him about that the following year. And Mike just lost it, on him, lost it on all of us, lost it on TV. How dare you show me, you know, losing my mind? You only show me when I'm blowing up. You never show me when I'm positive. You're just showing me blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you're just not you're just not really getting it. Like, if you want less of that judgment, do less of it. And certainly don't bring it out. And don't come screaming at us in our production meeting. That's not going to be to your benefit. So, this was from a... If I'm Bryson's agent, his friend, his PR team, this is not the way you go about changing any of that narrative.
Right? Bryson's a smart guy, honestly. He may not be the most likable guy, but I think he's a smart dude. I think he'll get it figured out. And I think he'll know that he's wrong, that the camera does catch Tiger Woods at inopportune times, and it doesn't do a thing to hurt his image.
God, Tiger!
Did that crush Tiger Woods? No one roots for him now. They saw him get mad and say, Tiger, and now they're... I mean, come on, Bryson.
No, Tiger.
Left it to the right again. Boy,
What Bryson doesn't know is that if he really wanted some entertainment, somebody would just film Tom Wassel while he's playing golf, and we could see all of Tom's reactions every time he hits a bad shot. The best part, by the way, is after the stream of expletives, when Tom looks at you, smiles, and moves it right along.
Yep. You can find that on YouTube if you want, by the way. I think you can Google that video, and that's out there of our first adventure at Suncadia together.
Pretty good. Well, Brock, as we continue on with the great winter of 2020 here in Seattle, it's freezing cold in now what is getting to be mid-July very shortly. It's July 7th. We're creeping up on mid-July. We're 3 days away from mid-July, and the weather's not turned. It's terrible here. It's
I don't see a. I'm looking at the high temperature over the next 10 days. We've got a high of 69, 66, 73, 64 in rain this weekend. Yep. We get to 73 as a high in the next 10 days.
Oh, that'll be good. I can't wait for that. 73. We'll all take off our shirts and run Green Lake together. It'll be awesome. In honor of the freezing cold weather, we thought it'd be fun to look back on some of our freezing cold takes from over the years and the times that we were the most wrong. So why don't you start, Brock? Because obviously you have the most.
There's no question about that. I think probably freshest was of all things, Salka Day. You were out.
Yeah, I can't let you play this.
What? Why?
I can't let you.
Yes, we can.
Because of
you
all
were out.
The freezing cold takes on here.
You were out.
The worst.
Jake Heaps was in. It was a quarterback day. It was one of our highest rated shows in our final year together. And it was the day it became official that Ziggy Ansah, Ziggy, 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 can't you see what you mean to me? Yeah, it was the day that he got signed to Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks and John Schneider got the deal done. The guy they recruited, the guy they wanted, the guy from the outside who came in and visit, signs a one-year deal for Seattle Seahawks.
Come on, Brock! I don't feel the juice this morning. I mean, are you kidding me? This is exactly what
you
and
want
I wanted.
Juice?
Yes, I want
you
juice.
You want juice?
Yes, I do. Yes! This is exactly what I was doing last night.
Brock, I got to tell you, you're kind of being, this isn't right. I don't like what you're doing right now.
What?
This isn't your freezing cold take listening to it again. You're claiming
it? Yes,
it
was. I yelled at Lydia.
Nope.
I yelled at Kyle. I yelled at Howdy.
Nope.
You
were egged on.
No, I was not.
Listening to that, Jake legitimately says, I don't feel enough energy from you.
No.
Jake is ready to lose his mind. He's geeked up over this guy.
Yes.
And you're like, all right, Ziggy, fine,
not
Jake.
True.
No,
not
I
true.
Know you. I know how you are. You
not
just get
true.
Excited because someone else is excited and you want to go chest bump. Brock, your only fault here is chest bumping.
No.
Jake is 100% at fault here.
I have the contingency with me. I just had – it was a one-man LJ Collier – first round pick, love fest.
C-Raj didn't give it to you?
No, he didn't.
More analytical.
He looked at me and was like, yeah, I feel the excitement too. That's kind of how it was. But I got this group in here with me now.
Oh. Let's go!
Thank you.
How are you feeling it? Do we need to come back and chest bump you too?
How you like me now?
Are you feeling it? Lydia?
Come on!
Lydia, you feeling
come
it, Lydia?
On!
Yes, I am feeling it.
Howdy and Lydia are both like, Ziggy Ansah is going to be the worst player on this team. just a mere few months from now, Ziggy Ansah won't be able to catch a 45-year-old backup quarterback with a bad hip.
I'll tell you what lesson Jake Heaps learned is to not do that again, because when they signed Greg Olsen, he was nowhere near that excited. Nowhere near. I have learned my lesson.
And the Seahawks have signed Greg Olsen. This might work out. We'll see. He told his son he's Bob. We'll wait and see. I don't know. It could go well. It might not go well. We'll wait.
We'll find out. We'll wait and see.
All right, that's a pretty good freezing cold take. But again, I think that one's more about Jake than it is about you.
We got to go back in the Wayback Machine a little bit for one of the most famous Salk moments of his freezing cold takes.
Oh, no.
When it came to his fear of one of the near winless Arizona Cardinals.
I'm not using this one. No.
Of the Arizona Cardinals for two reasons. One, Seahawks coming off that huge win. Everybody jumping all over them. They're huge. They're great. They're wonderful. Except all they had was one great win over Chicago. And now you got to back that up with two. And point two, which Brock will actually make more eloquently, Arizona doesn't stink, especially defensively.
Yeah, they do stink. They were awful and got blown out.
You were
of
playing
the
wrong part of the clip. The whole idea was that you were arguing that
there are plenty of teams you can sleep on when you're as
right.
good as
and
the Seahawks.
And my point
are.
Is, you don't sleep on teams in the NFL. Teams lose to bad teams all the time. This is, I have plenty of awful freezing cold takes. I stand by this one, even though the Seahawks got just worked at the Cardinals the next day. I would say Rawls over Zeke is one of the worst things I've ever said on the radio.
You came on the show and said, look, you want Ezekiel Elliott over Thomas Rawls for Ezekiel Elliott's rookie year?
I don't think it was
overall.
Quite like that.
Look, I take Thomas Rawls every day. Every single day I'd take Thomas Rawls over Ezekiel
Just because
Elliott.
You can't find the sound doesn't mean you get to make up
you
the sound.
You chastise
no,
Kyle
that's
and I
not how it happened.
For minutes on end to open that day.
Kyle asked me, who would you rather have? And I said, I'd rather have Rawls.
10 days out of 10, I would take Thomas Rawls. Ezekiel Elliott has done nothing in this league. Who knows if he's even going to be good
Why
at all?
Why don't you have the sound? Why are you making
it was
up the sound?
So ridiculous. We didn't even bother cutting it. It would ruin your reputation so much.
Hey, howdy.
That's
howdy.
Enough over there.
Hey, howdy. Did you fix Zunino?
Yeah, how's that one going?
Howdy fix Zunino!
Swinging a fly ball to the deep center field. Going back, Romine to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball!
I fixed
Wait, hold
Zunino!
On a second. Stop that. How's that? Romine? Was that against them?
No, it
was
Austin
Romine,
I think.
Was that an intra-squad game?
Andrew Romine, maybe?
I don't know.
Austin Romine?
I forget which one played here. It wasn't Kevin, because that was the father.
Yeah.
Did you just pull that from an intra-squad game?
Look, the facts don't matter in this case. The reality is, I had fixed him for a little bit of time, and then Scott Service kept me away from the team, and then he just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, I would say Mike Zunino is your second worst take. That's not worst take, by far. Your worst take is definitely the Vinny Catchercola, who's going to be the future of the Mariners.
Vinny Catchercola, dude had 50 doubles, led the Mariners minor league system in batting average, and was top three in the last 2 years. Obviously, he's going to be the guy moving forward. If you want to find a future third baseman, it's Vinny Catchercola. And not just the future, this year. This spring training, VinCat breaks the team behind Figgins at third base. No doubt. VinCat, baby. VinCat.
Well...
best is the use of the guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guy moving forward.
In the future, not just the future, this year.
Well, to be fair to you, to be fair to Howdy, he is now what?
He's a sheriff.
So he might not be the guy, but he is the man.
That's right.
So you were very close. I think that's a way you could kind of...
It's semantics.
Yes.
I mean, we've all had our troubles with Mariners predictions and being a... I mean, when we try to predict the Mariners to be good, we're often in a tough spot. So when Brock went back into the famed Justin Smoke trade, that was not good.
But forget Mark Lowe.
I'm not just going to forget Mark Lowe. I think he's a unique talent, Mike. I think he is a unique talent in that bullpen, and there's a reason the Texas wanted him. Okay, 98 and 99 with his slider and his stuff. I don't just see that growing on trees. I don't see that growing in every organization. I just don't.
I stand by that.
It doesn't grow on trees.
There aren't enough righties to throw 95 and with nothing else.
I stand by that one.
Well, Salk, you're not immune in that trade at all because you were on
Justin
the other
Smoke
side.
Was going to be great.
We're just excited about Justin Smoke, who's one of the top young players in baseball and has a chance to be a great one, has a chance to be a cornerstone building block.
He did. He had a chance.
He had a chance.
It didn't quite work out. That's not my worst Mariners take, though, I think.
No, it's got to be, the most famous one.
Definitive statement. I think the Mariners should sit Ken Griffey Jr. Not just against lefties. The Mariners should sit him. He should change his role. He should no longer be the primary DH. I'm not talking about dropping him down from third or fourth to sixth or seventh.
Stop.
The Mariners should sit Ken Griffey Jr.
We just played
that
this
one.
Last week. Enough. We don't need to keep playing that. We know I was right. They DH'd him, or they pinch hit him, and he hit a home run that day. Get Prince is definitely the worst Mariners day.
Prime the pump, Prince.
We talked about that for so
real
long.
Big.
We kept talking about it. I was all in on getting Prince.
Some ways, we were Russell Wilson. We were just begging the Mariners to do something.
True.
We were
That's
just
true.
Begging them.
Prince was just like a...
He was just a figure that was available at the time.
It could have been anybody.
Anyway.
We just wanted Jack to do something.
Do anything.
Right. Do anything to make this team a little bit more interesting and better. And Prince, but still, get Prince.
bad call.
Get Prince was not a... I mean, there was a whole campaign around Get Prince. I think we did a Get Milk-style campaign on Get Prince. It didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Howdy, do you have my 2018 Apple Cup prediction anymore?
Oh, I do. Oh, Brock. Brock, in the midst of the Huskies, I think who had won six in a row Apple Cups at the time, Gardner Minshew's the quarterback of the Cougs. And
the Cougs were number seven in the country, by the way.
He had stolen your heart.
Yeah.
He had stolen everything that you love. And you came on before the Apple Cup to give this opinion.
I've officially made a pick, and I said I think the Cougars are going to win this thing.
Really?
I think
that's got to hurt.
It's just, you know, I'm an unbiased pro.
Why are my coldest takes without Salk? What does that say?
Yeah, you don't have me around to keep
it's,
you.
It's Heaps. It's Bob Stelton. Some of my most freezing cold takes.
Right.
Colin Paisley egging me on with the Mark Lowe thing.
The junior one was me and Damon.
True.
So, I mean, maybe things go awry when we're not together.
Yeah, you need each other.
We need each other to come up with things like Thomas Rawls. It's going to be better.
Because you talk before the show and say,
I don't think your Apple Cup take counts that much either, Brock. Honestly.
Why?
Because you're just trying to predict who's going to win a game. I mean, like, that's not a take.
Yeah, it was a take.
No, it's not. You're being asked to make a prediction.
Well, I got texted by a few of the Husky coaches on their plane ride home from Pullman that had heard that. We're not too happy about it. So it was a hot take.
Yes.
That just turned out to be freezing cold.
Hot takes are like, Pete Carroll can't coach men. That's a hot take that turns freezing cold.
Who would say that?
I did. Hot takes are like Gorilla Glass. If you can't get Peyton Manning on your plane, then you've screwed up and it's your fault. And like, I mean, that's the kind of thing that counts as a freezing cold take.
There's only one outstanding freezing cold take that we've never really addressed. It's been tried to be buried and pushed down, but I've decided that it's time to let it out because there's one person in here who has a freezing cold take that has not yet been exposed.
I don't want any part of DK Metcalf.
You don't want
Zero.
DK Metcalf.
Nope.
I'm with you.
I don't want him for 1 second. I don't want him. I don't want DK Metcalf.
Amen.
He will not succeed as a big-time player in the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wrong on that one. I think if you continue to roll the tape, it was about where he was going to be picked.
He will not succeed in the NFL. He's going to be a bust. He will not succeed in
the
NFL.
Was that Heaps in again?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez. We really do need each other.
Jake just brings out the worst in us. What a jerk.
You guys are just consistently trying to impress Jake with your hot takes.
Well, it's all rooted in making fun of Jake when he was coming out of high school and decided where he was going to go. So, yeah, we're trying to go back in time and make the past right again. All right, there you go. There's a couple of freezing cold takes for a freezing cold pseudo summer here in Seattle. All right, Brock, we will be back in another week. We'll look forward to it. Hopefully by then we'll have a lot of really cool stuff to talk about, and my mood will improve as the weather does as well. Until then, hey.
Barn.
Get to the chopper!